Hello and welcome to Local Matters. We are talking about educational matters related to Tennessee agriculture today. And my special guest is Kelsey Rose, the Executive Director of the Tennessee FFA Foundation. Welcome, Kelsey.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm delighted you could come, and what our listeners don't know is it was on really short notice. So I happened to run into you today, and that worked out perfect. So FFA, Future Farmers of America, is a student-focused organization. So tell us a little bit about FFA and what its goals are.
Yes, sir. Well, you mentioned right away Future Farmers of America, and that is certainly the way that even today people still most identify what the organization is. And it's an intracurricular student-led youth organization that really focuses most on members who are interested in agriculture and leadership. And it's because of that leadership piece that several years ago the National FFA organization did change their name from solely Future Farmers of America, so we could really demonstrate the diversity that our members were interested in and to really hone in on that leadership piece, because it is a truly amazing leadership organization that really primes our members for that and provides them the opportunity for premier leadership, personal growth, and career success through that part of the organization that fits so well into the agricultural education world.
Yeah, I've seen many of my students in the College of Business even. They may have been an agriculture major or they may have been some other major, but FFA taught them leadership skills and got them involved on the national level in some cases.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we call ourselves the Future Farmers of America, but they're future veterinarians and teachers and doctors and anything and everything found within our membership.
It's funny when you look just at Tennessee Tech and at the School of Agriculture there, you can list an admiral in the U.S. Navy, a U.S. congressman. You go down the list. The jobs don't all go back to the farm.
That's very true. And we have a great partner actually with Tennessee Tech in allowing us to have our office space there. And it's just a really wonderful relationship that we have with Tennessee Tech, and we feel very welcome there. So we're grateful to be here in Cookeville.
Well, it's a good relationship on both ways. Well, our listeners may not have met you, so tell us a little bit about your background and sort of how your path took you to this position.
Oh, gosh. Yes, sir. Well, I am not from Cookeville originally. I did grow up in Middle Tennessee. Really, all I knew about Tennessee Tech, to be honest, was that my mom was a graduate many moons ago growing up. And I'm a UT Martin grad. I'm almost scared to say that on air.
No, that's a good school, too.
But I was a member of FFA. I started actually with 4-H involvement early on in 4-H, doing speeches and that sort of thing in the classroom. And then started showing cattle. My parents have a small shorthorn cattle farm in McEwen, Tennessee. And so really just grew to love that. And then when I got to high school, fell in love with the organization from the word go. Now, I'll be honest, my dad is an ag teacher and an FFA advisor, but he never forced us. You know, that was totally our option. Thankfully for me, it was just a great way to spend time with my dad, but it was also a really wonderful way for me to find my path and to learn that I loved agriculture. So I went to UT Martin to major in agriculture communications. And in my time there, I was also elected to serve as a state FFA officer, which was honestly the point in my life when I realized that agriculture is so diverse. And that was during a week-long tour when we got to tour the state. And I saw West Tennessee agriculture versus East Tennessee agriculture, and then our cattle farms in Middle Tennessee, and just grew to love the industry as well as all the business partners that we met along the way. And that was when I knew I wanted to be involved. So after graduation, I actually worked for several of our greatest sponsors for Tennessee FFA, and somehow it led me here. And I've loved the work because I get to see our members from time to time, and I get reminded and reinvigorated of why we do this. And that's just because there are so many other individuals who are finding their path just like I did through this organization.
It's a big organization. When I was on the website, the data may be a little out of date, but 220-some chapters across the state, 28,000 members.
Yes, sir. We're pretty proud of those numbers.
Well, you should be. And a lot of these are in high school, or they're still learning about their career and, mm-hmm. and learning how to lead.
Yes, sir.
So it's a great formative kind of education.
Oh, absolutely. And those numbers we're especially proud of right now, because though we have those 228 chapters, and that's been pretty steady for several years now, last year, actually, we doubled our membership nearly to that 28,000.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was actually through an initiative which my employer, the Tennessee FFA Foundation, decided, our board of directors decided, let's make every student enrolled in Tennessee in agriculture education a member of the FFA. Let's give them that opportunity to really experience the leadership development piece of this puzzle. And through that, we were able to become the fourth largest association in the country, which is incredible. We have a huge, we're the largest youth-led organization in the world, actually. So to say that Tennessee FFA is the fourth largest, we're pretty proud of that.
I think you should be. There's no question. Well, it's got a leg in agriculture education, but it's also got a leg in hands-on experience, doesn't
yes,
it? Wants people to get their hands dirty.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we say that we're three components of there's three components of agriculture education. So there's that classroom piece, obviously, but then there's the FFA piece, which gives you the leadership. And then we have the SAE, which is supervised agriculture experience piece, which is true hands-on learning. That's where a lot of our members actually find out what part of agriculture they love, whether it's beekeeping or beef production or crops or just going and educating. So going into classrooms and teaching about agriculture education and ag communication. So that's the way that we really make sure our students are getting that hands-on learning.
And we should mention, I mentioned a few of the careers that they went on to. The master distiller at Jack Daniel's Distillery was an ag major for many years too. Well, the FFA motto is sort of intriguing. Learning to do, doing to learn, earning to live, and living to serve. Now, let's talk a little bit about that. Learning to do is always been a part of education.
Mm-hmm.
Doing to learn means hands-on education.
Sure.
It really does. But I liked the earning to live. It's a good living that you can get in agriculture, but living to serve, that's the part that knowing some of the FFA leaders across the state, that seems to me to dominate a lot of the thinking in FFA.
Oh, yes, sir. And, you know, when you're elected to one of our eight state officer positions in the Tennessee FFA, of course it's a huge honor, but we tell them from the get-go, you're serving. So, yes, you're one of these elected eight, but you are serving 28,000 Tennessee FFA members, and that is your primary focus. And they learn that well in advance of being elected for a state office, but you certainly know that they have that mindset when they're elected. So you'll see Tennessee FFA members out anywhere in their communities. I mean, you typically know about the community service that you're going to see a member, but I think that we also just create a kid that is willing to serve on a daily level without having to be enticed for the community service projects that may need to be going on the resume. You know, they're kids who are going to just help out their common man just because of who they are and that respect that they have. We're fresh off of our Tennessee FFA State Convention, and I'm always so proud when we get back from Gatlinburg to hear people talk about the caliber of students that they saw while we were there, because it's true. They really are the best kind of kids.
And is this the convention that Governor Lee spoke to, or was it
Yes, sir, that's the one. So we were really fortunate. It's been since, I believe, Governor Bredesen, since we've had a governor with us at convention. Now, typically, convention is held in March, so, of course, it's hard for them to get away at that time of year. But Governor Lee was on site, and he was given his honorary state FFA degree because he's been such an incredible supporter for Tennessee FFA since he got elected, and we were really excited to have him there.
Well, that's great, and I'm delighted that he is supporting the organization as much as he has. Well, there's just a lot to to talk about still. Take me back into the typical high school experience. How does a student begin to get involved in FFA, and what do they experience during high school, say?
You know, I'll be honest, it is very versatile in each ag program across the state. And so many of the programs have their own things that they're really specialized in. A lot of times that's been very specifically chosen based on the industry within that area, which is the mm-hmm. most appropriate way for the workforce development piece. But typically our members start as a ninth grader. They come in and they learn the FFA creed, which is one of our greatest traditions, and they become a green hand FFA member, and they'll achieve that degree by the end of the year. And that year they also really start to develop their supervised ag experience. And that's where they start to find that hands-on piece of the puzzle we talked about earlier. And what is that project going to look like over the next 4 years? So then from there, they'll go up through the ranks, basically. And typically they'll start with an agriculture science class that freshman year just to kind of learn the basics. And I will tell you, I'm very proud of this, but in my home chapter, every student who actually goes through that high school takes agriculture education or agriculture science because they were scoring so well on their state test, even better than some of the biology kids, that it became very obvious that they were learning all of the things that they needed to in that freshman level course. And then from there, we'll have kids who learn their real desires in agriculture through things like large animal or greenhouse. We have all sorts of classwork curriculum where they'll take those classes, and that along the way, they'll also eventually start to do things like leadership development events, which include parliamentary procedure or extemporaneous speaking.
Well, this is Local Matters, and we are talking to Kelsey Rose, the executive director of the Tennessee FFA Foundation, and we are going to take a quick break and be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Kelsey Rose about the FFA Foundation. And Kelsey, tell us about the foundation and its goals.
Yes, sir. So we are the fundraising arm of Tennessee FFA Association. And our goal is just to provide the Tennessee FFA Association with its own way to create those things like premier leadership, personal growth, and career success for Tennessee FFA members. One of our largest goals was what I mentioned earlier with statewide affiliation. And for us to be able to check something like that off was a huge step for our foundation. That had been the groundwork for that had been laid a long, long time ago. And it was a large investment, to be honest. But we knew that that was a big piece of the puzzle for us, and that our association could really thrive if we did that. So for us, we want to ensure that all of our career and leadership development events, all of our proficiency awards, our scholarships are well funded, and that we're able to maintain our association and our organization within our state for inevitably, in essence.
Yeah, that's great. Can you talk about how the money is used a little bit? What are the big things that it's used for?
Yes, sir. So our largest price point is certainly that affiliation. That was a $260,000 investment per year so that our members can be members of both the Tennessee and FFA organization. And from there, we spend a lot of money on scholarships and on cash awards for students and for their chapters. And those go to students who have excelled in their proficiency areas. That goes to students who have excelled in their career and leadership developments, which are contests essentially. And then the scholarships, I mean, we pay out over 15 or more scholarships every year, to Tennessee FFA members. And that's a big thing for us. And we're really proud to support those students. And a lot of times, you know, they're actually investing their cash prizes back into their projects, and that just continues to compound for them. And it's an incredible thing to see how they'll use that and grow their own operations over time because of the investments that we've made back into them.
And so it goes right back into the hands of students one
yes,
way
sir.
Or another. That's great. And here in Cookeville, we've got a little bit of a special point of pride. Philip Baker is the current chairman of the FFA Foundation. Is
yes,
that right?
Yes, sir. We're really lucky to have Philip as our board chairman. And we've also got Chelsea Rose as our board secretary, and Congressman Rose is on our sponsoring committee. So Dr. Byler is also on our board. We have all kinds of Cookeville representation, and we're really lucky to have them because they certainly know and understand the organization better than anybody.
I mentioned Congressman Rose earlier in terms of careers, but he wasn't the first. I think Lincoln Davis was the first U.S. congressman that had an FFA background and a degree from Tech in agriculture. So it's just great to see these people involved in the organization and helping raise these funds. We also here in the Upper Cumberland have a camp, Camp Clements. And the FFA Foundation has a special relationship with Camp Clements, don't you?
Yes, sir. So camp is kind of our crown jewel. We're really proud of camp, and we actually like to tout that we're the oldest FFA camp in the nation. Now, North Carolina will try to tell you otherwise, but we believe we remain the
I'll
oldest.
I'll take your story, yes.
So we are really fortunate to have that camp. We bring about 1,400 members through camp every year, and the foundation just helps by making sure that grants come to the camp. We've been able to secure state grants over the years that have allowed us to do several million dollars worth of camp renovations. You know, it's a beautiful camp located on a beautiful piece of property. So we want to maintain facilities that are also enticing to our campers. And because of those state grants that we were able to secure, we've been able to do that. And it is a really beautiful place, and we love for anybody to come visit anytime.
Well, tell everybody where it is.
Well, it's located in Doyle, Tennessee, but it's on the banks of the Caney Fork River, which we all know if we've driven all down I-40 into the Upper Cumberland. Just a really beautiful place, kind of nestled in the foothills of the Upper Cumberland. It's a special place for many FFA members as well. There's a lot of tradition there also.
Yeah, there is. And just on down the road a little bit is what used to be called Camp Tubb, a Boy Scout camp, now called the Parish Reservation, I think, down near Rock Island. And I've spent many nights and brought home many ticks and chiggers from being in that camp experience. So that's part of the fun of camping.
That's very true.
Well, we're going to come back and talk a little more about how folks can help you. But just in general, what's the best way for somebody to get involved in helping FFA achieve their goals?
Well, we obviously love financial support, and we are really fortunate to have lots of great sponsors across the state, from the Farm Credit Mid-Americas to the Tennessee Farm Bureaus and Tennessee Farmers Cooperatives. I mean, they are a large, large piece of our contributions every year. But, of course, individual donors are essential to us. And it sometimes sounds like a small thing, right, when people think about, oh, but I can only donate $100. But $100 is 1.5 FFA jackets that we can pass back to a member. And we have programs for that, or that can go toward a camp scholarship. So any financial donations are always very beneficial and will somehow benefit an FFA member. But then we also need volunteer support. You know, sometimes we're looking for people to judge contests, and that's a really fun job, I'll tell anybody. And or just to help train students and help them better themselves as they prepare for things. Our Tennessee Ag teachers and FFA advisors are very hardworking individuals, but the help that they can gain from their local community support is invaluable.
I want to give you a chance now to tell them how to contact you. There is a website.
Yes, sir, tnffa.org, and we actually do have a handy donate now button on the website. But our foundation email addresses and everything are also on there, and we are happy to answer questions about Tennessee FFA as the association or the foundation anytime. But yeah, if they'll check out tnffa.org or go to Facebook or Instagram, we are all of those places and accessible.
And your offices are in a historic building at Tennessee Tech, and one that's had a long relationship with the School of Agriculture, Oakley Hall. It's now called, named after a significant benefactor, and Millard Oakley lives on a pioneer farm, doesn't he?
Yes, sir, he does. I've actually never gotten to visit it, but I've heard it's a very beautiful place.
I've been there many, many times, and it is a beautiful place, and the Pioneer Farm goes back, in his case, to the 1700s, and his family has had continuous ownership of that, mm-hmm. and it's a remarkable place, and there's a lot of head of cattle up there, too.
I'd say so.
Well, what's going on in FFA right now?
Well, we're really excited right now because, as you know, it's been a hard year. It's been a hard year for Tennessee FFA, just like everybody else. And so our members are getting to go back to their classrooms this year, which means that they'll be able to participate in a lot more FFA contests and be on the road and in person for events again this year. For us, those in-person events mean one of our largest fundraiser, our Tennessee FFA Ham Breakfast. We're right in the thick of planning that right now. Typically, that had been held at the State Fair in September. And this year, the State Fair, of course, is being held in conjunction with the Wilson County Fair.
We are going to take a quick break. This is Local Matters, and we're talking to Kelsey Rose from the Tennessee FFA Foundation. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Kelsey Rose. And Kelsey, right before the break, we were talking about a ham breakfast. And FFA sponsored that for a long time, but this year it's going to be in Wilson County. That's a big change.
Yes, sir. We've had great representation from Nashville businesses over the years, and it's become sort of a who's who over time. But because of that change to Wilson County, it's going to be a bigger event, and we're going to be able to really pull in some of that Lebanon support and that sort of thing. It will be closer to Cookeville for all those folks who might be interested from the Upper Cumberland area. But it's a really spectacular event because we're able to celebrate Tennessee agriculture. We're able to bring in, you know, both political parties have been there and have really celebrated Tennessee FFA with that. And we're always really excited about the ham breakfast, but this year it feels like we're getting a little bit of a bump out of this transition.
And do you think this will be a permanent location for the fair? Do we know that yet, for the state fair?
I don't know that for sure, but it sounds like things are pretty permanent based on the state budget that I understand. Every time I talk to Wilson County Fair folks, I know that they're planning all sorts of new things. One thing that I've really enjoyed hearing about is that they plan on celebrating each Tennessee county's main agricultural commodity. I think that's going to be such a neat celebration. So I'm assuming it's permanent, but I'm not the official word on that.
Well, and we ought to have Congressman Rose call in right now. He was chairman of the fair board. And he may still be, but I know he has been in the past.
Yes, sir. He worked very hard on behalf of the Tennessee State Fair.
Well, just a lot of good things going on there, and it's exciting that we're going to have a fair again and going to have great celebrations like the ham breakfast back. Well, let's go back to the focus of FFA on education and leadership and talk a little bit about agricultural education and why it's so important. People sometimes overlook the role that agriculture plays in this state.
Yes, sir. Well, it's the number one industry in the state. And so, you know, we hear so much right now about workforce development. That's certainly a buzzword. Agriculture education is workforce development, in my personal opinion. When it comes to food and fiber, agriculture, our natural resources, those are all things that our agricultural education programs are teaching on a daily basis. And then that playing into this largest industry in Tennessee of agriculture, that's a huge thing for our agriculture education programs to have a part in. So many of our members are also dual enrolled with Tennessee universities, or they will go on to attend a TCAT because of these programs. And the agriculture education part of that is really, really the key.
It's different in different parts of the state. Agriculture takes on a different role in Johnson City than it than it does in the old plantation environment around Memphis.
Yes, sir. It looks very different. It's really incredible to watch what FFA advisors and ag teachers will do to really learn their areas. And, you know, sometimes we do have those who are East Tennessee natives teaching in West Tennessee and vice versa. And even within our regions, you can see the very unique diversity within our regions across Tennessee really are very unique in and of themselves. And you see that even within Tennessee FFA members' projects.
Yeah, the three stars, the three states of Tennessee are demographically unique, geographically unique, and I can imagine from the perspective of the farmer, they present unique challenges.
Yes, sir, yeah.
I know where I try to grow a garden in Putnam County sometimes presents unique challenges.
You probably have a few more rocks to deal with than somebody would in Martin. Yes.
I think that's right. But it probably also has the challenges have a great deal to do with the person doing the hoeing also. Well, FFA is a national and international in some ways organization, but again, its genesis was Future Farmers of America. Talk about how Tennessee FFA and National FFA work together.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, I mentioned earlier that we are now the fourth largest association. That's the fourth largest association of about 650 to 700,000 members.
Wow.
across 51 associations. So when I say 51, that's all 50 states plus Puerto Rico, that is part of the National FFA organization. And we are fortunate every year to go to National FFA Convention. Of course, last year we didn't get to go, but that's another thing that we'll get to do again in 2021. And it's incredible because we take, you know, as many FFA members from Tennessee as we can get up there, but then we're a very small piece of about 60,000 FFA members in downtown Indianapolis where National FFA convention is held. We basically overtake the city, to be honest. But it National FFA Convention is a really great celebration of what they do through the year. And each year, Tennessee FFA has members compete at the National FFA Convention. They go through a very rigorous process to prepare for that. And they are basically experts in their fields when it comes to the contest that they'll compete at National FFA Convention. But again, once they've reached that pinnacle of success, there's cash awards waiting for them. There's scholarship opportunities. There's internship opportunities waiting for them all through their growth in the organization.
Well, it's a great linkage, and I guess getting to interact with folks from Florida and looking at the challenges that they would have there compared to California with the drought right now, or the Midwest, some great learning experiences there in interacting with people.
Yes, sir. Well, and you do really get a good taste for the diversity, again, further diversity of agriculture, but also then just the uniqueness of every state and what they face. I'll be honest that through my own contacts within the National FFA and other agricultural organizations, I found out how blessed we were in Tennessee to have such great support across the board for our industry, but be it in our Department of Agriculture or with our organizations like the Farm Bureaus. So you really see that as you meet with other folks from the National FFA organization, be it as a member or myself as an alumni member and later a member of the Tennessee FFA, an employee of the Tennessee FFA Foundation. You can really find that through your conversations with other folks.
Well, that's great. Well, before we leave, I want you to have an opportunity to just say to a parent or a student or a potential donor, How can I get involved? So tell people how they can get involved.
Yeah, well, I would encourage a parent to encourage their children, certainly, to be involved in Tennessee FFA or FFA in any state if they happen to be moving away. But we take members and we take already wonderful kids or even lost kids at times and give them just as many opportunities as possible. And that's through competitions or through just hard work, whatever it might be. And just hone in leadership skills. We develop their taste and their knowledge for the industry that is feeding our world. So even if they don't go on to be a part of agriculture, they're at least an informed consumer, which is huge. So I would encourage a parent in that regard. I would encourage a member because they're going to be provided with opportunities that are second to none and are really hard to find anything like it anywhere else. And then to a potential sponsor, I would just say consider both the member and the opportunity for workforce development and supporting this great industry that we have within Tennessee and Tennessee FFA.
Well, Kelsey, this is a big organization that you lead and that you're part of with overall Tennessee FFA, but it's a multi-million-dollar nonprofit organization. What do you see as the biggest challenges for what you've been doing?
You know, you say it's a big organization, and you're exactly right. But I think probably the first thing that comes to mind is just general lack of awareness. A lot of times I still do have to go back to that Future Farmers of America for folks to even really recognize what I mean when I say National FFA Organization or Tennessee FFA Foundation. And so There are so many people who still believe, because there's the Future Farmers of America stigma with it, if you will, that it's all about, you know, agriculture and production farming and
playing in the dirt.
Right. Yeah. And so if we don't find folks who are familiar with agriculture or Tennessee FFA, then there's sort of this lapse of how is that directly going to help my organization or my company when it comes to sponsorships or that sorts of thing. So that's probably the largest one. That also feeds into when we're working with state government and budgeting and that sort of thing and trying to get legislators to pass things on our behalf, because they might not have a background of information.
They hold that stereotype too.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, we're lucky because now we are 28,000 members strong as opposed to 14,000 members strong. That's a big jump for us that will definitely pull some clout. But I think that we've still got that consumer awareness as an issue that we face as an agricultural industry, but also as we fundraise on behalf of FFA.
And I think that's not uncommon in a lot of different identity-based organizations. So that's good. Well, you brought a background with you to this job that comes from UT Martin and from the farm. But how do you think your background has helped you the most?
Well, you know, I was fortunate because I did work for those other agricultural organizations to first have contacts. The contacts that I made and the relationships that I had made prior to coming to work here were a very big thing for me and have been very beneficial, whether it was just making a phone call or asking for support, but also passion. Honestly, you know, I do still get excited for an FFA member. I might geek out a little bit even. And that's the thing, is because I did have that experience myself. I can get excited about the possibility of somebody helping our organization on behalf of that member.
Well, I can tell you're excited about it. We have been talking to Kelsey Rose, the executive director of the Tennessee FFA Foundation. Kelsey, it's been great to have you with us, and we'll have to get back together on the airwaves again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.